It was mid-December 2014 at the BIMI World Mission Center. I was looking forward to catching up on things that had piled up on my desk due to travels with the Receding America ministry since late summer. It was Tuesday morning. My phone rang, and a man introduced himself as a member of a church in a neighboring state. He said he was the last remaining deacon at that church. They had been without a pastor for 5 months. He had heard that we helped churches that needed a boost, needed restarting. You know, I'm just kind of skip over some of this here. He was wondering if we could help them find someone to help them in their church. The number of calls I receive like this is increasing. A congregation loses their pastor and the church struggles to find a replacement. Since the search for new leadership can take time, some members begin to leave. The church then has to find a pastor who will accept a call to restart the church and possibly work a secular job or have some form of support because they can no longer pay a full-time man. I received 6 calls that day from churches in decline that needed help. It seems as though wherever I turn lately, I'm running into the fact that independent, Bible-believing Baptist churches like ours are in trouble. They're hurting. They're hurting spiritually. They're hurting emotionally. And many of them are hurting financially. Again, to social media, I know Aaron about a week ago or 2 weeks ago put something on Twitter, a quote from a service in which a missionary was at their church speaking. And I went back and looked it up today to get it right to share with you tonight. But he said in that message just a couple of weeks ago that I can't remember if it was last year or every year, 300 independent Baptist churches closed their doors. 300. This article that I just shared with you goes on to say that if we hope to keep up with the trend in America, we as independent fundamental Baptists need to be starting 500 churches a year to keep up with the ones that A, are closing or perhaps compromising in some fashion. That's staggering. That came in the mail. I started looking at it, and it's just like everywhere I turn, I'm seeing churches that are hurting and churches that are in trouble. I've made the statement for years, as you well know, that while we must never give up on foreign missions, America needs help. And a lot of our missionary dollars go to stuff in America, as you well know. Now, we can't overlook the other side of it. I don't want to ever be guilty of that. But there is a tremendous need in this country, which explains a lot maybe as to why this country is in the shape that it is in, even tonight. And so it is with that thought in mind that I would like to draw our attention. Now, we did some other things last Wednesday night, you know, and I shared with you some stuff from the bus conference and all of that. But we want to get back to the book of Philippians tonight, which we had been looking at on Wednesday night, still in chapter number 1. And it is with that kind of a thought in mind, I want us to understand that we're looking at a letter, and to us it's a book, but we're looking at a letter that was written to a church. And let's notice tonight some of the admonitions to this church at Philippi and how applicable it is to each of us right here, but to so many that churches that are hurting. So many are hurting. So many are going the other way. I've used the example many times over the years about Kay Hudson, her name is now, I can't remember, that you ladies came back from the meeting 2 or 3 years ago and was telling the story of her testimony and all the stuff that was going on from a church right down the road from us. And I bring that up a lot because it just made such an impact on me. I still can't believe a lot of the struggles that they went through. Things are going bad in some of our churches. Things are going south. And people are hurting. Sometimes people that we wouldn't even realize. I mean, I don't want to say Kay's church, but I can't think. What's her husband's name? Anybody know? Chandler's the last name. Yeah, that does ring a bell. I've been to their church, not for a service, but for a family get-together, believe it or not. And you look at it and you think, well, this church is going good. When we went there, they just finished doing some building stuff and, you know, got some buses sitting around and big, nice sanctuary. I mean, you think things are going well. Things are not always like they seem. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 8, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve the things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." When it comes to the local church and what's going on in this church at Philippi tonight, and in lieu of so much that's going on in the world today, it is just it really just tears at my heartstrings to see America in the spiritual shape. I mentioned this back when it happened, but on our way to church, right the way we go, and then we hop up where we stayed at to come up the road, there's a Baptist church that closed a couple years ago, and every time I go by there, every Sunday, of course, we come the other way on during the week, Business 85, but I see it every Sunday, and some other times I think, man, you know, when I first saw it go up for sale, I drove over there. I mean, I went in the parking lot, I went back to the fellowship building, I drove around, Vicki was with me, and I said, you know, somebody ought to do something. And I began to think, wonder if there's something our church could do to help these people. And my wife will tell you, I mean, I went around, we got out and looked in the windows. I mean, it was in such disarray. I said, you know, there's, you know, and the property, the building was so much bigger than ours, and it was so much going wrong with us. There's nothing we could do probably to help these people. Things are just, they just look so bad. I think they had lost pride. They had lost, you know, when people get discouraged, they don't want to do, they don't want to come, they don't want to give. Well, what's the result of that? You know, closed doors. And man, it's so sad. And it's just, it's a horrible testimony to what we stand for, to see these things happening all around us. Here's a church tonight. It says to them in verse number 9, "This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Folks, we see here abound. If we get satisfied to the point that we don't want to abound, the doors on this church will close too. People will ride by and they'll say, "Wow, you know, how sad. If we ever get to the point, well, you know, we trusted God in the past, and we don't want to trust God in the future. We stepped out on faith in the past. I don't know if God will do that for us again." We need to discern what's the will of God and what's the will of man, and be sure we're in the will of God. And I want to draw your attention in verse number 9 to that word abound, which means to overflow or to have in abundance. And I'll be honest, if we would have still had our old communion table and stuff up here, I would have brought water. I'd just done an overflow illustration, but I'm just too picky over this stuff. I hate to have an accident, so I wasn't brave enough to try that tonight. But it's just, you know, overflow, you know. And that's what the idea of in verse number 9, that your love may abound. It's to excel. You know how, you ever watch time-lapse photography where you see a flower, you know, and it comes out of the ground, and it's got this little bud, you know, and that's the idea, just, you know, wide open and excelling and going above and beyond and being able to discern what the will of God is. And it indicates something that is continuous, and it indicates something that is progressive, something that is continually ongoing, something that's active. And what's he talking about? The something is the love in our hearts. Certainly the love for the Lord is number one, but let's not forget the love for each other. And thus I pray that your love may abound yet more and more. I mean, you never get there, you know. It's just like more and more. But then he gets even more specific about this, and you wouldn't really think maybe in these lines, but he said, grow in love. But what specifically? He says, in knowledge. So knowledge and love are connected, and they go hand in hand. And the idea, as I understand it, going back into the original, has to do with those things that are precise and right and ethical and moral and all of those kinds of things, not to mention divine in nature. And so we take the love that we have for God and things of God and the people of God in love with God, and we grow more in love with God's people, and we increase in the knowledge of those things that are right in God's eyes, those things that are ethical in God's eyes, those things that are spiritual in God's eyes, and we just grow and we grow and we grow. But sometimes we just get to the point where we think, well, we've had enough growth, that is, we've kind of reached all where we need to be, and we just kind of let it go. And the prayer for the church at Philippi and the prayer for our church should be that we just continue to grow. I mean, I'm all about, you know, growing numbers and the church growing that way. I think we should. Thank God that we have. But that's not the only way, and that's not the one area that we need to put all of our attention on. To grow and to abound, which is to excel and to have an overabundance and that kind of thing. But he says, in more knowledge and in all judgment. Our love is based not on emotion, but our love is based on knowledge of who God is, knowledge of what He is doing and has done for us. But then he says also in this verse, judgment, being able to understand and discern, just like a judge would do, and discern what's right, what's wrong, what's of God and what's not, what I need to put a priority on and what I don't. Love is not something blind, so to speak. It's the ability to differentiate between good and bad, right and wrong, ethical and unethical, immoral and immoral, and all of those things. Why does Paul pray this church would do that? He prays that this church would do that, to abound and to have knowledge and so forth, because he wants what they do to be pure and to be genuine. Now, I want you to take those words with you tonight, to be pure and to be genuine. So abound in verse number 9. Abounding in what? Well, abounding in love and in knowledge and in judgment. And so that's a great thing. Notice with me verse number 10. That ye may approve the things that are excellent. The things that are excellent. So we discern, and then based on what we figure out, what we look at, what, differentiating between all these different parts. And then we come to a decision as to what to do. When I was deciding whether or not to bring up the May event and offering it up to those that ride the bus, I had to, problems and difficulties and behavioral issues and then people getting tired and whiny and but then I thought, well, and so I said, if we don't get help, I mean, I'm not trying to put the ball in your court, but we got to have help. We're going to do it. But if we don't, we'll do something else down the road. So that's okay too. But you have to decide. So I'm saying, you take the information, and you take it, you think about it, and you decide what to do. And that's what he wants this church to do, that you may approve the things that are excellent. Now, if you work for a place, and some you request time off, a lot of times what you have to do, depending on the company, sometimes you have to turn in a form. because they want it on file, and they want to, you know, and then that way, if that's what we used to do over yonder, and if two people turned in one the same day off, which one got it in first? That's who got it. So they would check, you know, what date was it turned in, or what date did I get it? Supervisor would say that, and that kind of thing. And so it would either be approved or disapproved. And so we see in verse number 10 that ye may approve things that are excellent. Some people just settle for garbage, you know? Settle for garbage. I gave my dog yesterday some scraps, which he typically just dearly loves. And that so much so that if I go out there and he's just got regular dog food, he's like, where's the good stuff? You know, he's just like, you know, where's that? So I took some stuff out there, and I noticed that when we left yesterday that he hadn't touched it. I'm like, So I thought, well, maybe he doesn't like it. So before I left, I went and got some regular food and, you know, and put a little bit more with it. And I thought, well, you know, it'll be all right. Got back home last night. Yeah, I could tell we have a nightlight on our carport there, and I could tell there was food still in the pan. Now, it's not unusual maybe for him not to eat everything, because he's the only, you know, it's not like he's competing with another dog or anything, and sometimes he'll save some for later. But, So I get up this morning. Still wasn't touched. Well, maybe there's something about that he just didn't care for. So I took that, and I took it back in the house and put it on our cabinet for us to eat later. No, I didn't. Did I pour it out in the middle of the backyard? No. Did I take it to the mailbox for the mail? No. I took it as far away from the house to the edge of my property. If I was like my neighbors, I might be putting it on somebody else. I've seen him on my yard before, but that's another story. But I took it over to the edge of my property and dumped it out. You know why? And I could have thrown it away, but I know garbage attracts garbage. And garbage attracts scavengers. The kind of lowlifes that I don't want hanging around my house and my family and not even my dog. And so I took it as far away as I could because I wanted to get rid of the garbage. Maybe I should have thrown it away, but I took it and way out yonder. Some people, when it comes to their life, will settle for garbage. They live a garbage life. They use garbage language. They have garbage friends. And I don't mean to put down, there's God, thank you. I mean, I'd do it in a minute. I don't care. Don't matter to me. I've been a janitor before. I might as well be garbage man too. It don't make no difference. But I'm not trying to put them down. I'm just simply saying garbage attracts garbage. What are you attracting? What do we want our church to attract? Well, if you just wouldn't be so picky about everything, we don't want garbage. Verse number 10 says, "You may approve the things that are excellent, 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 not garbage." Man, don't settle. I try to get across to these young people. You don't be something you're not to get somebody to like you, you know? You're going to have garbage if you do that. You're just going to attract garbage. You don't go looking for a boyfriend. You don't go looking for a girlfriend in certain places because you're going to get garbage. Now, I don't need to get off on that, but man, it upsets me the way these young people talk and the way they go about finding people to be with. I mean, what in the world do you expect? When you get on the stuff like that. So verse number 10, first off, that which is genuine. That which, if you will, has been approved. It is real. It's the idea of to test and to examine and to prove and to scrutinize and to do all of those things. And it has the idea, back in the church at Philippi, their money actually was way softer than our money is today. And a lot of times what people would do, you know, people always been dishonest. And a lot of times what they would do, because, and I don't mean it was Play-Doh, but I just mean the money wasn't as hard as our money today. And so sometimes what they would do, if they were clever enough, they could find a way to shave off some of it. Or even gouge out a little in the middle and then put some honey or some waxy substance in it and then kind of try to smooth it over, you know, so nobody would know the difference. Well, what would happen was, after a while, if they scraped a little off of this coin and a little off of this coin, I mean, it didn't take too many weeks. With money coming and going, they could have a pile of metal, because money back then was made out of metal, and then they could melt it down and make... The idea is that which is approved. How do you know if it's... I mean, we have ways today to tell if you've got counterfeit. And what they would do, they would take it and they would hold it up to the sun. And if you could see through any of it, you know you're dealing with a crook. You know, you got some issues going on there. The Bible said that ye may approve the things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense. And that's what it means, sincere. Be real, be what you got, you know, don't cut corners and don't settle for something else and don't be a cheat, you know, just be honest. So we discern some things and then we decide some things. This is what I'm going to do. This is the way it's going to be. You know, this is the standard that I'm setting for myself. And Paul wants these believers to choose to be excellent. As a church, choose to be excellent. You know, just, you know, don't, you know, I mean, you know, don't start coming to church in your pajamas and stuff. You know, I mean, it's just, I mean, and some do. Just, you know, be, you know, we get out early and, you know, we see people getting out of church, you know. Sometimes on the bus we go by these other churches, or if we're going to get something to eat after we get back on the bus. I mean, I've seen people come out of church in their pajamas, for goodness sakes. I mean, right here in our area. And it's just, I mean, to me, God deserves, you know, a little effort. Anyhow, that you may approve the things that are excellent, excellent, excellent. Grow in knowledge, grow in love, grow in judgment, grow in all of these areas, and be excellent. And without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are led by Jesus Christ. When, you know, a guy said, well, you know, Lord, I can't follow you. I've got some oxen. I got to go prove them. And that's the idea when somebody would look at the money. And, well, let me prove this. Let me make sure that it is what it appears to be. 1 Thessalonians says, fast that which is good. Prove all things. So be careful about that. In Romans chapter 12, you know verses 1 and 2 very well. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I lost it. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, the Bible says, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, we have the deciding aspect. And then notice verse number 11, where the Bible says that this is kind of what we deliver on, that which is right and excellent and pure and sincere. And all of that comes into play. And then verse number 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. So, if we do all of these things, we do them. We have to be active about it. It's an ongoing process. It's not something that we ever arrive at. So Paul is telling this church, I'm praying for you. I want your love to abound. I want it just to overflow. I don't ever get to the point where I've loved enough. I've grown enough. No, always be after that. Approve and proving those things. So we look at it. We make some decisions. And then we just follow through with it. And that's what he's saying in verse number 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are led by Jesus Christ unto glory and praise of God. So that's what it's all about. The product of doing these things is the right attitude on the inside and right actions on the outside. Because you're not going to have the right actions on the outside if you don't have the right attitude on the inside. Now you think about it, you know that's true. You're going to have the right, I mean, you can play, you know, you can play church for a while, but you're not going to have the right actions on the outside if you don't have the right attitude on the inside. My. I wouldn't say or do anything to embarrass anybody on purpose. If I do it, it would be inadvertently, but we picked up one of our kids tonight, and you have to know her. You know, she's mad about something about 9/10 of the time anyhow, so it really ain't no big deal. But she has moaned and whined and complained all the way to church about her mama's bad attitude. I just thought that is so hilarious. You know, have you listened to yourself? Have you looked in the mirror? You know, and I got to be quiet because they went across the aisle to get refreshments, and I don't want to, you know, embarrass anybody. But I mean, if you're wrong on the inside, you're going to be wrong on the outside. And we see other people, and it's easy to see it in other people. But are we as quick to see it in ourselves? So the product of righteousness, is fruit. A good inward attitude and good outward actions. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise to God. So another aspect of this product of righteousness is glory and praise to the Lord. James chapter 3, verse number 18 says, as the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. There's so verse we could talk about tonight. God's glorified when we talk about that. We're kind of single-minded and we limit it to soul winning, which is certainly a part of it. But let's not forget about the fruits of the Spirit, all right? So that's kind of what I'm talking about tonight when I say God is glorified when we bear fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Praising the Lord, looking at something, getting the facts as it pertains to some things. Should I be involved in this? Should I go here? Be with these people. If I do this, then I can't do this that maybe would please God more or help me be growing in Christ or something like that. And so we take the information and then we make the decision and then we act on it. It's something we do many times throughout the day. Paul is suggesting to this church and admonishing this church to focus on that which God wants you to do and to do those things that are God-honoring. Because once we stop doing that, I mean, you know, if we're faithful to God, God's promised to supply our needs. And so, but we don't ever want, man, we want to do what we can to help people that are hurting, to hurt preachers and missionaries and evangelists, and, you know, and all the rest that are hurting and that are some encouragement. And our hearts go out to churches and so forth and so on. And it's something that it's been dear to me for a long time, because you've heard me talk about the great need for America and America's churches, and you know, the need for churches, and man, it's dear to me. Our church, you know, I mean, that's like number one. I mean, you know, obviously, but the need for churches in cities that don't have a good church, and the need to encourage those that maybe are of like faith and so forth and so on. And here's a good starting point for each of us, lest we start down a slippery slope as individuals, because if it starts in my heart, then it's going to spread to my house, and then it's going to spread to my church or my family, then my church family, you know. And like I say, when people get discouraged, they quit wanting to do, they quit wanting to come, and they quit wanting to give. But when you're encouraged, you want to do, and you want to be here, and you know, hey, let's come more, and let's have, you know, and you just have a desire to do more, and even give more for that matter. So that's the kind of people that we want to be, knowing that we certainly can't outgive God, that God loves a cheerful giver. No, I'm just not just talking about money, but God does love a cheerful giver, and God has promised to supply our need. I want to thank you tonight for not being stingy. I want to thank you tonight for being a people of faith. Week in and week out, month in, month out, year in and year out. And I know God is blessing our church the way He is because we've tried to do so much for so many others as God has enabled us to do so. And may we always continue in that fashion. All right. God bless you tonight. I hope something's been a help to you, something that'll help us through this week. Don't forget the couple things I mentioned by prayer. You don't need to mention them outside these walls tonight. And especially don't say anything about a possible youth activity. We don't want to bust their bubble if it turns out that we can't go. And we have the flyers here on this table and some on the chairs. If you can use them, avail yourself to it. All right, would you stand with me, please, and we'll have a word of prayer And God bless you tonight. Thank you so much for coming. Father, we ask your blessings as we gather together in this place week in and week out. And Father, we ask your blessings as we get ready to depart this place and go our separate ways tonight. Lord, that indeed you would keep us safe. Keep us in your care. Protect us. And we're, Lord, I was thinking just this week about all these years now, a handful of years at least, and you've protected our vehicles. We haven't had so much as a scratch, and Father, it's just we could have, and you've protected our church from those that would want to destroy it from within and without. And Father, we pray that indeed that might continue. And Father, we pray for those tonight that are hurting. We pray for those churches tonight that are going under. They're declining in every area. We know before churches decline in membership, typically there's a decline in the heart in some fashion. Father, we pray tonight for any that might be in that situation this evening. Thank you for our church. We pray your blessings upon our folk as we finish out this week at work, at school, or whatever may be in our paths this week, Lord, that you would get the glory. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.